बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
सो द काउ एंड द बुल आर गोइंग टू हैव अ कन्वर्सेशन विद परीक्षित महाराज नाउ एंड परीक्षित इज फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल गिविंग कॉन्फिडेंस टू देम दैट He is giving them assurance that he will definitely protect them. And see, these cow and bull are not ordinary cow and bull. As I told you, the bull is Dharma and the cow is Bhumi Devi. So Bhumi Devi is also consort of the Lord, isn't it? When Lord comes as Varaha, he carries Bhumi Devi on his tusks. So they are not personalities who will easily pinpoint the perpetrator or the person who is beating. Therefore, when Parikshit is asking the question, in order to confirm, and Parikshit is also intelligent, he doesn't want to punish Kali without ensuring it is Kali only who is beating them. Although he has scolded Kali now by making an observation, sometimes you have to be careful before you exactly point out the culprit. Sometimes you see in movies, you know, somebody is stabbed by somebody and some another innocent person comes there and takes out the knife. That other person is crying and then dharal, he just falls, he's dead. So somebody has stabbed him, he is semi-alive. So this person goes to take out the knife to help him. But in the course of helping him, that fellow, then immediately some people surround him and they see the knife in his hand. What they conclude? He is the culprit. Immediately he is put behind the bars or given death sentence, correct? No? Such things can happen. therefore says, there's a saying, seeing with eyes can also be not trusted, can also be not trusted. And even if you have heard from other people, that also cannot be trusted. But one has to thoroughly evaluate the situation from various angles and know the complete picture of anything before we take any action. Because sometimes when you hear from other people, they may tell you a wrong information which they heard from someone else. And it may go on because it gets exaggerated, no? Sometimes. Or sometimes seeing with eyes also can be bewildering because a person holding a knife doesn't mean he's a murderer. So therefore here also Parikshit Maharaj is a little cautious. Although I have scolded this person, is he the real fellow who is beating the cow and bull? So that he wants to confirm. So he is going to ask cow and the bull. But the problem is, cow and the bull both are very exalted personalities and they are not normally used to pointing finger towards anyone. Generally, great souls, what they will do, they will adjust in all situations and not find fault with anyone, not blame anyone else. Not criticize anyone, accept everything as Lord's mercy. So that is the nature of great soul. So both these personalities are not pointing out finger to Kali. That's going to come now. Which verse we were in? Correct, this one. Root cause of suffering. So the 17th verse, he said that, these words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty, the bull is telling. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, who performed duties as a messenger to them. So first the bull is glorifying his lineage. You are very coming from Pandava dynasty, you are certainly a great Chaivaldras hero, we agree. And then he is saying further, 18th verse onwards is giving several reasons for the cause of suffering, why they both are suffering. Read the translation, 18th one.
O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of the theoretical philosophers.
Yeah. Because dharma is speaking, no? So dharma means religion. So, and the religion, there are six systems of philosophy which also form a part of religion, correct, no? And all these six systems of philosophy, they talk different things. Like for example, there is a karma mimamsaka people. The karma mimamsakas, according to them, karma is supreme. Which means, you know, if you do good karma, you will get good results. If you do bad karma, you get bad results. And karma is so great that even Supreme Lord is not independent. He will be forced to award you good and bad according to your actions. Therefore, it is useless to worship the Supreme, according to them. Better you take shelter of good karma. So now you can challenge them by asking a question. If you say good karma is ultimate, and you are doing good karma, you will go to heaven. Then what will happen? You will say, I will enjoy in heaven. But your punya will get over. I know it, no problem. Then you will come down to earth. Yes, I will come down to earth and do more punya. And again go to heaven. And enjoy and come. So you pump yourself on earth and enjoy in heaven. Again pump with more punya, enjoy and come back. This is karma mimamsaka philosophy. And they are convinced that there is nothing else beyond this. This is what you have to keep doing. Yeah. So there are many flaws told by Vaishnavacharyas in this system. One of the first flaws is, while you are on earth, there is no assurance that you will always do only punya. So the Nriga Maharaja story is said, he went on to do punya, but he ended up in papa. Correct, no? He wanted to give charity of cows to the brahmanas. So he gave 1,000 cows to one brahmana, another 1,000 cows to another brahman. But one cow from one brahman's group went to another brahmana's group. So, and the brahmana said, hey, my cow has gone, give it back to me. Then when the king went to fetch the cow and give it back, the other brahmana didn't allow. He said, once you have given the cow into my crowd, you cannot touch it. Because charity given once cannot be asked back. Like that he said. And then Raghav Maharaj said, never mind. You know, I will give the other brahmana another 1,000 cows. He had a lot of cows. So he told the other brahmana, I'll give you 1,000. Other brahmana said, I want that cow only. Again he went back to him. He said, I will give you 1,000 cows. Give me this one. He said, even if you give me 1,00,000 cows, I will not give this one. He said. So in this way, he earned the displeasure of both brahmins. And the next life, he became a lizard. So this is a danger in karmakanda activities. Sometimes one may intend to do some pious activities, one may commit some mistakes, and one may end up in such a body like this. So karma mimamsakas are thinking that we will do punya, but even while going to do punya, one can end up in papa. For example, Ajamila, he went to fetch some flowers for a punya, good activity, but he saw something due to which he degraded, isn't it? So nobody can confidently say that if somebody is punyatma, they will never do pap in this world. Anybody can fall any time without the shelter of the Lord. So then what happens? They will not only do punya and go to heaven, they will also have to go to hell and suffer also. Correct, no? That's one flaw. Another flaw is that whenever there is a system, there should be a maker of the system. No system can exist blindly. For example, a school starts at 10 o'clock or something in the morning, 10 to 4. So somebody has made that system. Then you start at 10 and end at 4. Everybody has to come. Or in a company, you have a siren which blows and then you have to punch a card. All these are systems. So no system can exist without the maker of system. So even if punya pap system is made, these people are foolishly thinking that system is ultimate. But there is a maker of system who has to be present, God. They say, they don't deny God also. They say, God may be there, but he's not very powerful. What to do? The system is made is so powerful. It's more powerful than him also. They think like that. So this is a flaw in this system of karma mimamsaka propounded by Jaimini. Then there is another Sankhya. This is atheistic Sankhya. That is also one of the six systems. What atheistic Sankhya says, you see, he also counts all the material, all the beginning with Jnanendriya, Karmendriya, they make it 10. And then tanmatras, the sense objects, another 5, which makes it 15, isn't it? And then there are 5 panchamahabhuta, and there are 3 sukshma sharira elements, man, buddhi, ahankar, makes it 23. If you include the soul, it makes it 24, isn't it? So what they say, these 24 elements are the root cause of everything, according to the Sankhya. According to him, according to Sankhya, all the living beings are also coming from these 24 elements only. So it is almost like Darwin's theory, atheism only, atheism. it's like generation of life from matter, that kind of thing. So Prabhupada gives example that a goat has a hanging neck, and if somebody foolishly tries to milk the neck, they won't get any milk. Because the udder of the goat is elsewhere below. You have to get milk from there. So Sankhya people trying to get living forms from the dead matter is like somebody trying to milk the neck of a goat. Like the Prabhupada says. So material elements can never produce Chetana Atma. So this is a big flaw in the atheistic Sankhya. So this is one of the systems of philosophy. And then there is a... Vaibhashika philosophers, Prabhupada writes about them in the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter. There is one verse, no? Atachainam nitya jatam manyante. He is saying, Atachainam, he says, my dear Arjuna, if you think you are the body, you have no reason to lament. Correct, no? Why? Because if in a chemical company they throw so much chemicals away, nobody cries after throwing. Do they cry? Imagine one tin of chemical you throw, waste chemicals, and then after throwing you cry. You don't cry. If a body is also a lump of chemicals, then why do you have to cry if you think you are only the bundle of chemicals? On the other hand, if you know you are the soul, again there is no reason to cry, because the soul never dies. So like that Krishna speaks in one of the verses. So there Prabhupada writes in that purport, Prabhupada says, these philosophers, what they say, this Vaibhashika philosophers, they say that if you take a bopla, if you take a stick, and if you take a wire, individually they cannot do anything. But when you combine them together, it can produce sound. Tung, 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 isn't it? When you put a stick in a bopla, bopla you call it, big one? Yeah, bopla. And then you tie it, and then you put, tie a string to that, then you can make sound. Similarly, they say, some combination of matter has brought about life. Individually they cannot produce, only the matter individually cannot produce, but when you combine them in a certain proportion, certain way, certain amino acid, this, that, you put together, life comes. They tried also, scientists, they combined matter and tried to pass some electricity to check whether that fellow jumps up and becomes, you know, some living form comes out. There is one Miller's experiment. They tried all that, they couldn't produce any living form. So the chemicals remained chemicals only. So this is Vaibhashika philosophy, which also is similar to the atheistic Sankhya. Similar to that, he talks about living forms produced a combination of matter. So these people, what they will say, if you ask them why we are suffering misery, they will say misery is produced from matter. Because you are a middle combination. This combination produces pleasure and pain both. Like that. Now if you ask the Mimamsaka philosophers, they will say that the misery is produced because you have to do only punya. You have done some pap, so you are suffering. So do punya, continuous punya you do, then you won't suffer. It is their understanding. Like that. Vedavyas is also one of the 6. But Vedavyas is actually, Vyas is one of the, he wrote the Vedas, Vedic literature, which explains the Vedic literature, what is given as the ultimate root cause of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the ultimate cause of everything. So, like if you look at the sun, there is no shadow in the sun. But when you look away from the sun, you see the shadow. Similarly, when you look towards Krishna, there is no suffering. But when you look away from Krishna, there is suffering. Now, although you may turn away from the sun, you see shadow. If there is no sun, can there be shadow? There cannot be shadow. Shadow can only be there when sun is present. Similarly, God is the root cause of our suffering also. Why? Because His presence only can bring about suffering. Therefore, everyone else is called as relative truth, whereas Krishna is absolute truth. Now, we may have a question. Because of the presence of the sun, the shadow is coming when I turn away from him. That means God is a giver of suffering. Why he gives suffering? We may ask a question. So the Vedas very clearly explain. The sufferings are given in order to teach the living entity that he is walking the wrong path. So, like you have seen a bull, bullock cart is running. They have a chabuk in the hand. You have seen that? When the bull is going on the right side, they will put like this. Then the bull will go straight. If it's going left, then this side. Correct, no? The whole idea of beating the bull on either side is to keep it straight on the road. And for the horse, they put this only. So that it will go straight like that. So, Mayadevi also inflicts suffering, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidevika sufferings on the living being. The whole idea of giving suffering is, the suffering program is meant to save the living entity from degrading further. If somebody is, like we also, for example, imagine somebody has a constipation, stiff stomach, but he goes and eats, what do you call it, bonda, what do you call it? Patata vada, they call it. Patata vada. In South India, they call it bonda, they call it. Here, they call it patata vada. Imagine somebody is eating 4 or 5 patata vada. Already, his stomach is stuck up. Is it good? So then what will happen? It will become more complicated. He will have severe stomach pain. The stomach pain is indicative that he is unnecessarily eating. Already, he has not digested what he ate before. Now, he is putting more. Correct, no? So, the body also gives some pains. The pains are actually indicative of our wrong behavior. Correct, no? So the disorder in the body. Same way Mayadevi also inflicts suffering to the living entities, to slap or beat the living entity, to not let the living entity degrade further away from his constitutional position. Instead of going towards Krishna, when a jiva goes away from Krishna, he gets suffering. Correct, no? Mayadeya samsara dukkha, it is said. So Mayadevi is also our motivator or inspirer to go towards Krishna. Like Guru also is an inspirer to move us towards Krishna, like that. So, like if somebody smokes, the lungs become... There was one, this thing, one video clip, some devotee showed me. You know, a man is smoking a cigarette and his lungs are popping out, jumping on the table. And he's shocked, what is it? And then jumping and going out of the hotel. And he's running behind it and he's going away, far, far away. And he's screaming, please, please don't go away. You know what is the meaning of that? That means by smoking too much, you will lose your lungs and eventually your life. That's the meaning of that. Correct, no? Similarly, somebody is drinking, they get liver problem. Correct? So, why these sufferings are arranged? To rectify the wrong behavior. People who are going away from Krishna like that. So, another meaning of suffering is, Lord, sometimes, then one may ask, then some devotees are also suffering. Why? So, the devotee suffering is very elaborately explained in our Vaishnava Shastras. A devotee may suffer sometimes when Krishna wants to correct a devotee, correct an erring devotee. If a devotee is committing errors, inappropriate behavior, then Krishna may give some suffering to get the devotee to the right path also. If a devotee is committing sin or offenses, then Krishna will give a pinch to the devotee to bring him to the... And that is not given by Maya. That's given by Krishna. Prabhupada says there's a difference between a mother pinching a child or slapping a child in comparison to a police removing a belt and whipping a thief. There's a big difference. Mayadevi's beating is like police whipping with a belt. Whereas when a mother is pinching a child, that's like Krishna administering pain to his devotee, you see. So if you can only see like that, we can really appreciate the pinch of Krishna in the path of devotional service. And also sometimes Krishna gives suffering even to pure devotees like Bhishma to glorify them. How even in suffering they are remembering Krishna, they are glorifying Krishna, they are unaffected by any material contamination, even in suffering, even in precarious positions. So there are many, many reasons like this. Or sometimes Krishna gives suffering to a complacent devotee to make him more serious. Like our Chitraketu was becoming a little complacent. Krishna wanted to accelerate his devotion service and bring him back to Godhead. Or sometimes Krishna gives suffering to a devotee. Why? So that the devotee calls for Krishna and Krishna comes and some pastime can happen. Like Durvasa Muni coming with thousands of disciples. Krishna gave some trouble to Pandavas. By that trouble, Krishna and his devotees could associate with one another. And some pastime could take place, which became a recorded lesson for all time to come. So when Krishna wants to do pastime with his devotees, he sends some suffering. then devotees and Krishna come together. And devotee feels very jolly, and devotee doesn't mind the suffering at all. So in this way, the root cause of suffering is ultimately Krishna only. There are people who surrender to government, there are people who surrender to police. And both of them ultimately are under the custody of the government only. Correct, no? Like whether it is Aravada jail or living a citizen in Pune, both are under government of India. Correct, no? That is the point. So in this way, there are various causes of suffering. If you read the translation of this, just now we saw, the bull is saying, different opinions of theoretical philosophers are there, I am bewildered, the Dharma says. Which means, sometimes reading too many books can also confuse us. So our Rupa Goswami Pada, in the 64 principles, he says that one should not read too many books. Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya, Chitta Haya Brahm. Our Chitta becomes Brahm, bewildered by reading too many contradicting books and materials. So sometimes reading books may give us a more broader perspective and better understanding. Sometimes a person reads various philosophies, and if you read 4.10, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that there is one class of people who read too many books and they get confused about, you know, the ultimate goal of life and the purpose of life. They are unable to develop faith in any one of those philosophies, although they know a lot of philosophies. Like one man came to Chopar temple and met Radha Gopinath Prabhu and asked, Swamiji, can I get Ashtavakra Bhagavad Gita? And he asked, you know, why do you want Ashtavakra? I'll give you another Bhagavad Gita, come. So Prabhuji took him and showed him Bhagavad Gita as it is. And the man said, oh, this I already have. He said, I already have a collection of more than, 80 to 100 Gitas, Gita commentaries. And Swami Prabhupada also is with me. Oh, really? Have you read it? Oh. And I every day I read 8 to 10 hours. He said, I have completed Bhagavata as it is. So, Radha Gopinath was surprised. And Radha Gopinath was telling, this fellow, he knows Vaishnava philosophy, but he is unable to develop faith. Similarly, he has read Mayavada, he has read different organizations. Chinmaya Mission he has read different. So, his hobby is to read various philosophical books. And he is not able to. So then Prabhuji was quoting this in a class. He said, this is the meaning of Jignyasu. You find Artho, Artharthi, and then Jignyasu, Jnani, correct, no? He said, some people come to temple because they don't have a job. Or somebody is not able to get a match. They pray to God. So people come for various problems, they come. Or people want some money. And he said, this category is another category, which is Jignyasu. They get nowhere. Similarly, the dharma means, the bull represents dharma. So when you study dharmic books also, one can get thoroughly confused reading different books. Therefore, if we read various books, if all those books can bring us to the point of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, then you are a blessed soul. Krishna is everything for me. He is my, like the Dwarkavasi said, no? Bhava yanastvam bhava vishva bhavanaha tvameva mata cha suhrit patih pita tvam chaiva tvam sadgururna paramam cha daivatam yasyanu vritya kritino bhavuvima. They are telling Krishna, you are our mother, you are our father, you are our sadguru, you are our suhrit, you are our well-wisher, and by following in your footsteps and teachings and guidance, we have become successful in our life. Like that they are saying. So, if we can come to this conclusion, then all our philosophical study is wonderful. It's valuable. Like that. So, you will find here, Prabhupada says in that, second para, read the second para.
Although the bull or the personality of religion and the cow, the personality of earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their sufferings, still, as the devotees of the Lord, they knew well also that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. According to the Padma Puran, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of the seedling sins. But yeah. Even those...
So, you know, in Padma Purana, it said, Aprarabdham phalam papam kutam bijam phalon mukham krameinaiva praliyeta Vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. So, this verse says that in some purva janma, I did some sin. As soon as I do a sin, it gradually, of course, it immediately is recorded in my account. In the next life, the sin gradually manifests like from a seed, a plant comes, then from a plant a flower comes, from a flower a fruit comes, correct, no? And then you eat the fruit, it's like neem fruit, if you have done sinful activity. If you have done nice activities, good activities, then it's like a mango fruit. So the sinful reactions don't just come. Initially the prarabdha karma, there are two types of prarabdha karma. One prarabdha karma comes out as prarabdha karma. What is that? That is the material body. The Atma is given one material body. Take this material body. After the body is given, then the sinful reactions, secondary sinful reactions are superimposed on the material body in the form of diseases, in the form of pains or accidents, adhyatmikati, devikati, both it's inflicted. So how can the pains be given? For that, the material body is given first. Like that. So the material body is compared to a tree. And painful reactions which come are compared to fruits, like that. So therefore, intelligent people who have studied Shastra, they will know, if some fruit is coming now in my body, one fruit may come in the mouth, another fruit may come as piles behind, isn't it? Another fruit may come as back pain, isn't it? Another fruit may come as stomach pain, different kinds of, another pain may come as arthritis. So these are different fruits in the body. Painful fruits. And there may be some pleasurable fruits also sometimes for the punya. One has a handsome body, one has good education, one is intelligent, one is skilled, one is born in a good family and all that. One may get. So pain, there are painful fruits, there are pleasurable fruits. Both fruits are there in the body. So generally when it comes in our life, what we try to do? We want to eradicate the painful fruits and enjoy the pleasurable fruits, correct, no? Is it possible completely? Not possible, no. But when the painful fruits come in our life, people don't blame others. Devotees of the Lord, they don't blame others. Like for example, imagine, I suddenly get a back pain. Then I blame my assistant. Every day I told you, catch my bucket and keep it in the bathroom. Now so much water I tried to lift. Because I lifted the bucket, I got the pain. And because you didn't help me to lift, therefore who is the cause of pain? You. Like that we say. You understood, no? We may say like that. And he may say, sorry Prabhuji, you only told that you will take care of your water yourself. No, assistant may say like that, correct, no? I may say like that, but you have to come and give it. It's your job. So generally what do? We blame like this, correct, no? Okay, in case you didn't get a catch on the back, would you blame him? You won't blame. In fact, he will be very proud that I am self-reliant. I take my bucket of water. I don't care for anyone. But when you get a pain, then like that we pinpoint. Somebody else is the cause of my pain, not myself. Correct, no? We put the blame to others, other people, you see. So in our life, if you think carefully, people are blaming the government. People are blaming the leaders. People are blaming the season. People are blaming the other people. People in generally, whomever is around us, we blame generally. So, but those who are intelligent people, when they get suffering in their life, they don't blame anyone. There is a reason for it. Why? If you blame somebody, then whatever suffering that person will get, we also get the same. I will explain that when it comes to the next verse. Intelligent people will not blame anyone. They will take responsibility for their suffering. They will say that, what can I do? I am suffering because my own karma is now coming in this form. It's coming in some shape or form. There may be some immediate cause. Somebody. Somebody may be an immediate cause. But you cannot... But why one is suffering? Like, you know, one devotee went to the kitchen and somebody was making this, you know, what do you call it? In oil, it was making like kachori type of thing. Kachori type of thing was making. He just put the kachori in the oil. The oil splashed like this. it splashed and it came on his face. It produced many, what do you call it? Boil kind of thing. And the devotee was shocked. He said, Prabhuji, what have you done? You are so cruel. He said, Prabhuji, no, Prabhu. I was just putting achari. You suddenly came. You came. I never wanted to do this to you. Will any devotee want to do this to you? Your face is too beautiful. I'll put some kachori and splash the oil on your face. Nobody would intend to do it. Correct, no? But somebody came. And now you may, if you consider very carefully, how did the devotee exactly come when kachori is falling? He came there. That is arranged by karma. He is supposed to suffer boils for some time. Correct, no? So kachori is also arranged. Kachori is put by somebody and somebody comes there who is supposed to get the pain. And then the oil splashes. At that time, what should the devotee who got the boils on his face, what he should say? Prabhuji, you are only a nimitta. What can you are deliverer of my goods. You know, I came there. What can you do? You are a wonderful devotee. You never intended to do this to me. But it happened to me. What can I do? Correct, no? So that is ideal. That is why this bull is refusing to show that fellow, Kali. He is saying, I know that he is beating me, but I can't say he is the causer of my pain. Because my pain may be due to my own karma. Therefore he is speaking like that. I read further.
So, Prabhupada Prabhuji?
Yeah. Where you stopped, from there you read further.
Rectifying seedling sins. But even those seedling sins also gradually fade away by the execution of pure devotional service. Thus even if the devotees see the mischief mongers, they do not accuse them for sufferings inflicted. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause. And therefore, they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses. For otherwise, the suffering should have been greater.
Yeah, they think that, you know, Krishna has given me only a token. Because I am his devotee now, he's minimized my punishment. Like that a devotee thinks, yeah. And then below, the speculative philosophers, however, do not recognize the sanction of the Lord, he says. They try to find out the cause of, that's why six systems of philosophy I told you, correct, no? They try to find out the cause of sufferings in their own way, as will be described in the following verses. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, such speculators are themselves bewildered. And thus, they cannot know the ultimate cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. Like, you know, all these panditas, they have big turban on their heads. And they are looking at a tree from which some palm fruit is falling down. So one pandita says, the palm fruit fell because the wind was blowing. Another pandita says, don't you see, a crow came and sat. As soon as the crow sat on the branch and applied some pressure, then the palm fruit fell. So who is the cause of the, cause of the palm fruit falling? He says, crow. And the first fellow says, the palm fruit fell because the wind blew, he says. Another pandita says, no, actually, you see, the palm fruit became ripe. Because it became ripe, there was no need for the wind to blow or crow to sit. The palm fruit becoming ripe itself made it fall down. So the ripening of the palm fruit is the cause, like that fellow says. And the fourth fellow says, yes, Prabhuji, that was ripe, I agree. But ripe fruits also don't fall on their own without some pressure. So according to my speculation, the ripe fruit must have been blown by the wind or by the crow's pressure. One out of the two, I agree. But ripe fruits don't fall on their own, like that he says. When all these panditas with big turbans are arguing, you know, Vaishnava devotee comes there and he picks up the fruit, eats and goes away. There is no need of such speculation. Correct, no? So Vaishnavas accept knowledge coming, descending wisdom in the parampara. Correct, no? So they accept that, you know, ultimate cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without whose vigilant supervision, nothing can happen. Even a blade of grass cannot move without his sanction. They are fully convinced. So Prabhupada has given the whole summary of this section in this purport. Basically, what is it? There is only one supreme cause, which is Supreme Lord. And there are other several multiple philosophers who give many bogus philosophies, which are given in the subsequent verses, and we will not waste our time with that. But we will just read the translations and like for example, the 19th verse, if you see, it is said, Kechid Vikalpa Vasana Ahur Atmanam Atmanaha. And then one word is given Atmanam there. And third line it says, Daivam. means the planets. The planets are the caste, grahas. Grahas, sometimes like Guru, we say, no? Shani is watching, Guru is watching. Hey, your time is not good. Saturn is passing slowly over your head. Saturn is a Shani, you know. Because of this period is very bad for some people, blame the graha. You know, the way I am behaving now, don't worry, Prabhu, because of Shani over my head. If I am very harsh, it's because of Shani. So some people blame the grahas, the daivam. And some people blame the ahur atmanam atmanaha. Atma, they say. Why? According to them, karma is not the cause. Why? Because karma is also not supreme. Karma gets completely dissolved. Karma alone is not the cause. Then they say grahas are also not the cause. Some people say mind is the cause, just like our Avanti Brahmana said. Na yam jano me sukha dukkha hetor na devatatma graha karma kala manaparam karanamamananti samsara chakram parivartayadya. He says, na yam jano me sukha dukkha hetor. For my sukha dukkha, I cannot blame the devatas. I cannot blame the grahas. I cannot blame the kala. I cannot blame the karma. I can only blame my mind, he says. Why? Mind is the devil. Or non-devotee who has caused me to do bad things, which is bringing me bad karma. So it's correct. It's not totally wrong what he is saying. But in the very first place, where did the mind come from? If it's a man, buddhi, ahankar, they are all man is coming from the sattvic ahankar. So where did sattvic ahankar come from? Then you have to go to mahatattva. Where did mahatattva come from? It came from pradhan. Where does pradhan come from? The supreme lord ultimately. Therefore, he is the cause. In this way, if you go, for example, if you ask, you know, I am drinking milk, what is the cause of milk? Oh, the cows are eating grass and giving milk. That is all right, but where is the grass coming from? Oh, it's because of the rains, grass comes. Okay, where is the rain coming from? It is because of the clouds. Where do the clouds come from? It's because of the sun absorbing water from the ocean. The sun is the cause. And then, how did the sun come from? Yachakshuresha savita sakala grahana. He says, isn't that correct? Yat chakshuresha, whose chakshu is sun? Lord Govinda. Therefore, Govinda is the ultimate cause. Correct, no? In this way, you can always, anything you... So there is immediate cause, there is remote cause, there is ultimate cause. So the six systems of philosophy, they all talk about immediate cause or remote cause only. And Vaishnava Shastras talk about ultimate cause. Yeah. And then... the next verse, 20th verse, he says, there are some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of this by argumentation, nor by imagination and all that, okay? You judge for yourself by thinking over all these things with your own intelligence. And then, in this way he says different things. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains the different philosophies. Gautama, Kanada, Ashtavakra, all the different philosophies. Sankhya, all the different philosophies Prabhupada explains. Now come to 21, you come. Translation you can read.
Sut Goswami said, O best among the Brahmanas, the Emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied. And without mistake or regret, he gave his reply.
Yeah. And in the purport Prabhupada writes below, unless one is?
Unless one is perfectly conversant with the law of Supreme Lord, one cannot speak such things touching the philosophical truths. The emperor, being also on an equal level of
sagacity,
yeah, replied to the point without doubts or mistakes.
Yeah, and Emperor Parishit was also advanced in religious principles. And the Kavan Bull were advanced. So he could easily guess, understand. He could easily understand. Sometimes, for example, one devotee is bringing a glass of water to the Bhagavatam speaker. You know, he's bringing in a glass, for example. When he comes running fastly, dadal, it breaks. It falls on the ground, the glass breaks like that. So now another manager, some devotee may ask, and then this devotee again runs to bring from another glass. And some devotees are taking a jadu and cleaning it up. So now one leader may ask a question. Hey, who broke the glass here in the temple hall? Correct, no? Another devotee may say, Prabhuji, he has gone to bring another glass of water, we will keep it for the speaker. He says, that is all right. Water can be kept, but who has broken it? And the devotee says, no, Prabhuji, we will clean it up, Prabhuji. Now we will put some cow dung and everything and we will clean it up. That is all right. But who broke it? Sometimes people ask, no? So is it very important who broke it? What is more important? Who broke it is important, or making sure that the glass pieces are cleaned up so that nobody will put their feet there and it won't enter their feet. Out of the two, which is more important? Second, correct, no? And why is it not important who broke it? Yeah? Mistakes do happen with everybody, correct, no? Anyway, it should not have happened, but he came in a little hurry-burry, it broke, correct, no? So sometimes devotees will be a little hesitant to unnecessarily quote the name of somebody who broke it. I will tell you, Prabhuji, I saw with my own eyes, he only broke it. No, they won't say like that. Anyway, his intention was not to break it. Was his intention bring the glass and put it like this? Will anybody do that? His intention was not that. Then why to unnecessarily make a big fuss about it? Correct, no? Anyway, somebody else will bring proper water like that. Therefore, the cow bull spoke like this indirectly. And then Parishit Maharaj was very intelligent. He also understood what they said. Just now you see what he says.
Rajo vacha
dharmam bravishi dharmajna dharmo sivrisha rupadhrik yad adharma kritasthanam suchakasya apitad bhavet. Yeah, translation.
The king said, You who are in the form of bull, you know the truth of religion and you are speaking according to the principle of that the destination intended for the perpetrator of the irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion.
This is a little complicated. See, the meaning of this is what? Very simple meaning. Yat adharma kritaha sthanam. If somebody does an adharmic activity, they go to hell, correct, no? They go to hell and suffer. But suchakasya means one who points finger to the perpetrator of sin will also go to the same destination, hell, he says. What is the meaning of this? If you blame the instrument of your karma, then you also get the reaction. The same reaction you get and you also suffer. By blaming. So to put it more precisely, I will tell you. For example, I got X amount of karma from my past life. Now I am about to suffer now. And now somebody is coming and delivering me that suffering. Some person. And either I punch him on his nose. Or I blame him. I create one more new fresh karma by this. Correct, no? And in case I don't accept it. I don't accept the reaction. Like if a postman is, say, coming and giving me a cover, I open it and I suddenly find there is, you know, $1 million check for a bank. Uncle says, you know, I came to know that you are doing your studies. This is my gift to you. Take it, $1 million. So you'll start dancing, isn't it? You will tell the policeman, you tell the postman, wait a minute, I'll get you some special prasad for you today. So Mahaprasad. Next day, postman comes and he gives you another, you know, your electricity bill, you are not paid for last 2 years, your meter has stopped. So we have made you $2 million, you have to pay now, or something like that. Then you give a slap to the postman. How can you bring such a letter? So poor postman, what can he do? He is just delivering you what is due for you. So don't pamper the postman or don't slap the postman. Correct, no? Because he is an instrument of your karma. Correct? In case you beat up the postman, what will happen? So imagine, you slapped him and bet him because he brought some big bill which you have to pay. Then what? Police will catch you, correct, no? That is what he is saying here. Which means, if the postman and you got into a fist fight, collar-catching fight for some reason, the police will catch both of you and put you. You can see in the road sometimes, when people are going in a car, somebody else comes and then talk slightly he hates or something like that. And then they both will have a big fight. You've seen that? Then all the other cars stop. Then both the cars are moved to the side by the traffic policeman. Correct, no? So similarly he says, in our life, whatever sufferings come, we are simply getting fruits of our own karma. through different living entities. And we have to accept it as such, without blaming them. When it comes, you accept it and don't try to see with your eyes through whom it is coming, because you will develop hatred for them, if you see them. So you just accept all living entities equally, and consider that one good was delivered by this fellow, one fellow by that fellow. Different living entities deliver you goods. And whose goods are they? Our goods only. And some goods are good goods, other ones are bad goods. Correct, no? We develop affection for those delivering nice goods. Those who are delivering good goods in a goody-goody way. And the other fellows who deliver bad goods, they become our enemies. Correct, no? Ultimately, both of them are postmen only. Nothing more than a postman. And in case we develop hatred for them and blame them and pick a fight with them, then we are creating new bad karma, he's saying. That is the main point here. We are creating new bad karma. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, correct. Yeah, I understand your question. So, that should be done in a confidential circle, you know, of somebody like a superior or an authority to whom you may have to identify a culprit. And we don't make a propaganda of it to everybody in the public, because our intention is not to assassinate his character, but our intention is to solve our problem. Correct, no?
It's perfect.
So, the purport Prabhupada writes, if you see, read the purport.
A devotee's conclusion is that no one is directly responsible for being a benefactor or mischief monger without a sanction of the Lord. Therefore, he does not consider...
This is the most important point. That when somebody is causing me a pain, who is watching?
Krishna.
Lord's eyes are the witness. If Lord is watching, then why should I fear? Like, for example, a doctor is giving me injection when I am a small kid. So have you seen children going with mother or father when the mother is catching the hand and the doctor is giving injection? Whom will be the child watching? He'll be watching the mother. So mother is herself catching me and giving injection. Child may cry also, but the child still doesn't run away, because child knows that, you know, this injection is being administered to me in the vigilance of the mother's presence. Then child can take it. Correct. Imagine mother, father are not there, and some doctor, unknown fellow, catches you by the hand. I come here, I'll put an injection. Can you take it? You'll be shocked. Who is this fellow? Is he going to kill me or what? Correct. Child will scream like anything, scream and yell and draw the attention of everybody around. Correct, no? But mother, father are there, child has trust in them. Because of the trust, the child thinks, oh, mother, father are aware of this injection that I am taking. It's painful, so I'll cry a little bit, but I will take it anyway. That's what he is saying. Everything in this world is happening within the witness of the Lord. See here. He says, no one is directly responsible for being a benefactor or a mischief monger without the sanction of the Lord. This is very deeply satisfying sentence, isn't it? Because if I am suffering also, I think I am doing some mischief. Therefore, Krishna is sending me suffering. Like that we should think. Why am I suffering? Because... You're a little doubtful about what I say. We should think like that. Suffering is coming. Maybe I did some bad karma in the past. Or right now, I'm doing some mischief, due to which I think Krishna wants to purify me. Krishna is witnessing. Therefore, it's coming. Other person who is giving me suffering or joy, you know, he is not the cause. He is just a nimitta. Nimitta means he is only an instrument of my own karma only. Like that one should think. And the Prabhupada is quoting example of Jesus Christ below. And then he didn't... That's for a devotee, the identifier is equally a sinner, like the mischief monger. By God's grace, the devotee tolerates all reverses. So Maharaj Parikshit observed all these things. The cow and bull never placed any complaint before the king for being tortured by the personality of Kali. Although everyone lodges such complaints before the state authorities, the extraordinary behavior of the bull made the king conclude that the bull was certainly like that. Like Prahlad Maharaj was given one chance to have a direct audience with Lord Narasimha, correct, no? As soon as he opened his mouth, did he blame his father? Oh Lord Narasimha, now you have come. Let me tell you what all atrocities my father gave me. He put me here, he put me in this. Did he say that? Oh, on the contrary, his consciousness is Brahmadaya Suragana Munayotha Siddha Sattvaikatanamatayo Vachasam Pravahai Naraditum Purugunai Radhuna Pipipruhu Kim Toshtu Marhati Same Hari Rugrajate. He is just glorifying the demigods, saying that I am an unqualified person. How can I praise you? And then he is simply praising Lord Narasimha's greatness. He hardly talks about his father. Then later on, after many, many verses, one verse he talks about his father. There also very favorably he talks. What he talks about his father? My dear Lord, if you really want to give me some benediction, can you please kindly deliver my father? Hiranyakashipu. That will be, if you really want to do a favor, that will be a great favor you will do for me. So he is praying for the good of his enemy or a person who was trying to kill him. That is the context in which he is recollecting his father's remembrance. Amazing, no? He is not blaming his father. He is trying to deliver his father through Lord Narasimha. Correct? Now similarly, when Sudarshan Chakra came and Ambarish Maharaj was in danger, did Ambarish Maharaj say, well done Sudarshan, at the right time you have come and you have destroyed the demon. Here goes that great yogi, Durvasa, who tried to kill me. Chase after him, capture him, cut off his head and bring it to me. Did he say like that? On the contrary, you will find the Sudarshan chased him everywhere. When yogi came and fell on his feet, he begged, please forgive him. Actually, Sudarshan was not ready to forgive. He says, Adharma Shilasura Dhumaketave. You are actually an enemy of the Adharma Vades. But Durvasamani is a Brahmana. Sudarshan said, no. He made an assassination attempt on you. He tried to kill you. So I cannot spare his life. Then he offered all his punya credits to Sudarshan. Then Sudarshan stopped, chasing after Durvasa after that. It was very amazing. So not only Ambarish Maharaj did not blame Durvasa. In fact, he felt he was mistaken. He felt that I should not have drunk the water. I displeased the sage. Now I will not eat anything for 1 year till he comes back. When he came back, he fed him prasad. And Durvasa told him, you have fed me, now what about you? You also eat now. Then he ate prasad. And then when Durvasa is thanking him and flying up in the sky to the Siddhaloka, on the way he is singing a beautiful song. All of you repeat. Aho Ananta Dasanam Mahatam Drishtamadhyame Kritagasopiyad Rajan Mangalani Samihase. See, he is telling Aho Ananta Dasanam. Lord Anantam is Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord servants, what can I say about them? How glorious are they? He is saying. Mahatam Drishtamadhyame. Aaj maine unki mahanata jana. Today, first time I am understanding how powerful our Lord's devotees. And then he is saying, what is that power? Not that he brought Sudarshan Chakra and made it chase after me. That's not their greatness. Their greatness is Kritaga Sopiyad Rajan. I tried to kill Ambarish Maharaj, but he prayed for my protection. This is the greatness of a Vaishnava. He never took a tit for tat with me. Rather, I tried to kill him. He saved my life and protected me. Like that is saying. He thought of my mangal, my auspiciousness. So in this way, this is a very important topic what we spoke just now in Vaishnava's life. Not unnecessarily increasing our tension by blaming others. He is the cause of my headache. He is the cause of my suffering. She is the cause of my suffering. Actually, nobody is the cause. If you want to know, the immediate cause is our mind only. Our mind imagines a lot of problems, injustices and many problems. And beyond the mind, ultimate cause is our own karma. And beyond our own karma, ultimate cause of everything is the Supreme Lord. So Supreme Lord is a supreme purifier also. And some of the ways he purifies is by sending some sufferings. Like that one should take it. So this is a summary of this. And then it goes on like this. So that theme is completed. Root cause of suffering. And 22, that is also covered. Don't blame instrument of your karma. And 23, if you see, there is a very important point. Read the 23 purport, translation purport.
Translation. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. Purport. A question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor. Although he knows definitely the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. Knowing the ultimate doer, one should not pose himself as ignorant of the actual performer. To answer this doubt, the reply is that the Lord is also not directly responsible. For everything is done by his deputed Maya Shakti or material energy. The material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord. The personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. And still, he was put into doubts by the deluding energy, and thus he refrained from mentioning the supreme cause. This doubtless...
This is a very deep point. This point, Prabhupada is saying here, that why did the bull not directly say that the ultimate cause of all causes is Supreme Lord? Like our Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in that song, Gopinath, Mama Nivedana. That song is saying, my dear Lord Gopinath, you know, Tomari Sakale Maya, he says, you know. You read that, you have that? Tomara Sakali. Sakali Tomara Maya, and then what is it? Nahi Mama Bala, Na Jnana Sunir Mala, Pandiyeche, Swadhyana Nahi Ekaya. Okay. Swadhyana Nahi Ekaya. My body is not independent. My body is functioning by Maya Shakti. Maya Shakti is Prakriti Kremanani. She is making my body act. And then another verse he will say, he's saying, Tomari Sakali Tomari Maya. Everything is actually your Maya only. And then he says that, Amito Tomara Jan, he says, now what he says? Amito Mara. You have a mobile in which you... So he says, I am your man, and instead of considering me your man, and you should actually chastise me, punish me, if you consider me your man, instead of chastising and punishing me, what are you doing? You are allowing Maya to capture me and take me to other side. You have left me. How can I do this? So that is a very beautiful verse. See, he's saying, where is that one? It is coming second one, yeah, correct. Here it comes. See, here it comes. Fifth para, he says. Fifth para and the second one, fifth para, he says. Gopinath tumito sakali jano apanar jane dandiya ekhano shri charane aho stano. And then he's saying, Gopinath eki vichara tava vimukha dekiya chadoni jajane. Nakaro karuna lava. So he's telling the translation, you see, Gopinath, I am your devotee, but having abandoned you and thus having forgotten my real treasure, I have worshipped this mundane world. You know everything. Now having punished your servant, please give him a place at your lotus feet. Is this your judgment, that seeing me averse to you, you abandon your servant and don't bestow even a particle of mercy upon him? That is the sixth one. Gopinath yeki vichara tava vimukha dekiya chadoni jajane nakaro karuna lava. Like that he's saying, if you are seeing me turning my face away from you and you are giving me up, how can I give me up? I am your man. I am your part and parcel. I am your servant. catch me and slap me and take me to your lotus feet. Neither is telling. What kind of person are you? You are allowing me to go away from you. Neither is telling. You don't have a trace of mercy upon me?
Gopinath amito muraka ati kise bhalo haya kabuna bujino taiheno mamagati.
He's telling, I'm certainly very foolish and I have never known what is good for me. Therefore, such is my condition. So, in this most important thing is, he says that this maya is your maya, your agency only. And if I am bewildered by maya, you have the right to take away maya and take me to your service. Just like, it's like saying, my dear Lord, my dear Prime Minister of India, you have put me in Yerwada jail. And the Yerwada jail is also under you only. If you wish, you can bring me out of the jail and directly engage me in your service. Can't Prime Minister of India do that? You can do that. That's what he is praying. It's a direct prayer to Krishna from the jail. So, why I was telling you that the bull was supposed to say that the ultimate cause of all causes is only Supreme Lord. Correct, no? That's a correct understanding. He need not blame the Kali. Instead, he could have said that ultimately it's a Bhagwan ki ichcha se hota hai. In India, people nicely say that. You've seen that? Kya chal raha hai aapke mein? Sab Bhagwan ki marji. Bhagwan ki ichcha. Arre, humne suna hai se, you know, aapko bada nuksan hoga aapke business mein. Theek hai, sab Bhagwan dekh rahe hain unki ichcha. Theek, agle saal theek ho jayega sab. So people put it on God. They accept it as God's will. He could have done that, no? Our bull. Why he didn't do that? He gives a reason. He himself was bewildered. So there comes a point in Kali Yuga, you will be very surprised. You will doubt the spiritual authorities, even if they are spotlessly pure. You will still have suspicion in their behavior. Because the whole Kali Yuga atmosphere is filled with so many atrocities and malpractices, due to which we suspect every sadhu. If one sadhu does a blunder, we think all sadhus are like this only. We think like that. And in case somebody tells you, Prabhuji, this sadhu, you know, last 5 years he has been spotless, last 10 years he has been spotless, last 40 years he is spotless, you will say, theek hai, he is spotless till 40 years. अभी कल भी कुछ हो सकता है गड़बड़ ना. वी विल नॉट बी एबल टू डेवलप फेथ इन इन एंड ऑल्सो द डाउट इज वन ऑफ द सिम्टम्स ऑफ कली युगा इन ऑल द पीपल इवन दोज हु कम टू द पाथ ऑफ रिलीजन. देयरफॉर यू फाइंड ऑल ओवर द वर्ल्ड नाउडेज यू नो पीपल हु इवन कम टू द रिलीजियस मूवमेंट स्पिरिचुअल मूवमेंट्स यू विल रेयरली फाइंड स्टॉन्च फेथ. People having staunch faith where they will shed their every drop of sweat and blood. That type of staunch faith is extremely rare. You will find many people are ready to be pious. Many people are ready to become vegetarians. Many people are ready to do yoga. Many people don't mind attending festivals and feasts and visiting some monks or sadhus. Many people nowadays have a guru as a hobby. Accepting guru is another type of hobby nowadays. You can accept a guru. Fashion it is. I have my guru. Some guru you can have. Like that, and keep a guru's photo, some stylish photo with a big beard and mustache, and guru is smiling. People keep in their purses. So everything in Kali Yuga is very easy. But the most important thing is to have a staunch faith without any doubt. That is extremely rare. And the main reason for this is sense gratification. The more we become submerged in sense gratification, the more we become mischievous and in our character. We become very mischievous and cunning and duplicitous. Because of this, we will not be able to develop a very staunch faith. So developing staunch faith is possible, like innocent child-like faith, we say. That is only possible by purity. So, in Kali Yuga, because of the four regulative principles being broken everywhere, Dharma's three legs are already broken. Correct, no? Therefore, Dharma is having doubt. He is saying like that. So, Prabhupada is writing about that. To answer this doubt, the reply is that Lord is, he's saying that the material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord. The personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. And still he was put into doubts by the Maya Shakti. And thus he refrained from mentioning the Supreme Cause. This doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and Maya Shakti. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by the deluding energy. And the proportion of measurement is inexplicable, Prabhupada is saying. So the atmosphere of Kali is magnified by Maya Shakti. So the doubtfulness was due to contamination of both Kali and Maya, Prabhupada is saying. Both of them. So, and what are the babies of this doubting tendency? Independent mentality, overthrowing of authority, hypocrisy and quarrel. These are the four children of doubting mentality in Kali Yuga. What is the first one I said? Independent mentality. That means everybody will want independence of speech, independence in thought, independence in action. Everybody has their own philosophy. Everybody wants to play their own fiddle. Nobody wants to follow anybody in the age of Kali Yuga. And everybody will want to show off, impress others. And they enjoy life in independence. And due to this, everybody is like a street dog in Kali Yuga. There is no shelter anywhere. Therefore, there is a lot of anxiety in Kali Yuga. Because if somebody is very deeply, strongly sheltered, then they are protected also. Correct, no? In Kali Yuga, everybody will be independent minded. You can, not only in the Western world, it's coming to India also now. They will not be sheltered by an authority, spiritual authority. They will not have firm faith in the basic books given by Srila Prabhupada. They will be reading so many other books like that. And they will not draw spiritual energy properly and then strengthen themselves. Rather, their mind will be very fickle, reading different books, you know. And they will have more enjoyment in receiving WhatsApp messages than reading books. They won't be reading books. And they get all kinds of stray information from all over the globe, different type of globe. So they don't have any loyalty to anybody. They only have loyalty to their own whimsical mind. And then because of this, they'll become completely independent. And why they become independent? Because there is no juice they are deriving from any particular place, due to which they have a scattered mind or a hyperactive mind. So, and that's why everybody is roaming in Kali Yuga like a street dog without any very firm feeling of shelter and protection. What second thing I told? Overthrowing authority. This Radha Gopinathpur once spoke, I heard about it. One of the reasons for overthrowing authority and wanting to be an independent authority is wanting to have freedom to commit sin. That is the reason for overthrowing authority. Because when Kali infiltrates people's heads and hearts, then one will want to indulge in the misbehavior which Kali is motivating them or inspiring them. So then one thinks that by overthrowing of authority, not accepting, because if you accept authority, you have to align. And then you find some fault with authority and you escape, then you are free to commit sin and free ticket to hell. Correct, no? Therefore, now you ask somebody whose authority you accept. Except their own mind, they won't accept any other authority. My own whimsical mind, my four-letter boss, this is our only authority in Kali Yuga. And nobody wants to accept any other authority. They will go to A authority and say that B authority, I accept him totally. He is my life and soul, I dedicate my life, he is everything for me. And he'll go to B and say, A is my authority. And I have full faith in him. And in this way, he is free from whom? Both A and B. He is not with anybody. They will simply talk, their talks have no weight at all. Blah, 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 with the mouth only. They are not under any authority. So we all have to ask ourselves, what authority we have accepted deeply in our heart? Have you accepted Prabhupada's words very seriously? There are people within ISKCON doubting Prabhupada's words. They may be devotees in ISKCON. They are saying, Prabhupada says like this, we could consider it like that, this, that, so many blah, blah, blah. They're bringing their fertile 200 gram of gray matter and giving speculations. You can find like that. So, they don't have faith in current gurus, they don't have faith in Prabhupada, they will have directly faith in some remote authority, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna or something, so that because that person will not catch them immediately. So, in this way, the overthrowing of the authority is, in like America also, the children have overthrown the authorities of parents and the teachers, correct, no? And they are free to wander as hippies and become like street dogs, correct, no? So this is a symptom of Kali Yuga. And thirdly, I said hypocrisy. So after overthrowing authority, what becomes very easy? Being hypocritical. Why? Because there's no one to check. There's no one to ask. No, there is no king with a chastising rod. There is no police to catch you. Now you are free to go to hell. Hypocritical behavior. Hypocrisy means duplicity. Duplicitously indulging in dhyutam panam sriyasuna. Yatra adharmas chaturvida. The four pillars of religion. One indulges in them and hides and cheats others. One will want to appear more saintly than actually being saintly. Which is more important? To be saintly or to appear saintly? Yeah. So you will see that, you know, people want to appear saintly and pose themselves like very exalted persons, and they are more after popularity game. So this is hypocrisy. And the last one? Quarrel, anger, quarrel, fights, these are characteristic of Kali Yuga also, between the people. So in this way, because dharma's three legs are broken, dharma is expressing doubt, and Prabhupada is giving explanation of why that doubt is there. The doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and Maya Shakti. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by deluding energy. And the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. And when we observe these four things, what are the opposites of these four things? Like what is the first one? Independent mentality. So how can we curb the independent mentality? Therefore, the GBCs are all coming together and finding out from Prabhupada's letters what Prabhupada exactly wants us to do, what is the mood and mission of Acharya. They are trying to understand. Because many places in ISKCON, they have gone far away from Acharya's vision. For example, in some ISKCON temples, the yoga classes are going inside the temple only, which Prabhupada vehemently opposed. It is not allowed. So some people have gone far away. In some temples, you don't find Prabhupada books at all. Instead of Prabhupada books, so many other books have come. They are in the forefront. So they made a policy in our meetings that 90% display of books should be Prabhupada books. And the 10% can be other books. Otherwise, what happens? When all devotees go to bookstall and ask, what are the new arrivals? New books? I think we should print Prabhupada books with new covers, I think. Then we can give them new arrivals. Correct, na? Isn't it? Every year we can tell BBT to publish books with the new different covers. New arrival we can give people. Isn't it? Isn't it? So, in this way, you find the independent mentality is... manifesting in various ways, and also the fringe fields gradually become all important, like for example learning Sanskrit, learning Ayurveda, learning Vastu, and learning astrology, and people becoming interested in these fringe fields. These fringe fields are all right. Fringe fields should remain fringe. They shouldn't become the core. So this is due to independent mentality, you see. And then the overthrowing of the authority. So long before, when GBC was in its early stage, after the departure of Prabhupada, you know, they came up with some zonal acharya system, and later on the zonal acharya system, in one zone, only one acharya will be there and he will give initiation. You cannot choose any other guru. Only you would accept from him. Like that they made a system for a few years and they changed it later on, which you all know. Some people say, GBC committed a mistake in 81 to 85 or something like that. So, we cannot follow GBC now, they are saying, some people. So, basically it's desire to overthrow the authority. Correct, no? And I will do what I want. I will not follow GBC, I will only follow Prabhupada. So, what do you know what Prabhupada wants? isn't it? So you will find that in this way, the tendency in Kali Yuga, the opposite of overthrowing authority is what? Align with the authority, correct, no? Similarly, opposite of independent mentality is learning to depend on Guru Sadhu Shastra, correct? Yeah. So, and third one, hypocrisy. Opposite of hypocrisy is simplicity. Opposite of hypocrisy or duplicity is simplicity. Straightforward behavior, behavior with integrity, behavior with sincerity, simplicity. And the fourth one is quarrel. Instead of quarrel, one should propose it, if you want to show you love me, cooperate. So we cooperate, and in case you cannot cooperate, you do what you are told to do. You don't work with this. Prabhupada also said, if two people cannot work together and do something commonly, then you do your thing, you let him do his thing, you don't quarrel. Correct? No? So these are all evils of Kali Yuga which produce doubt. But if we overcome these evils, there will be no doubt. Then we can have staunch faith in everything that we do. So that was 23. Come to 24. Verse number 24. Tapashaucham daya satyam iti pada krite krutaha adharmam shaistrayo bhagnaha smaya sangamadaistava. Translation.
In the age of Satya, truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust and woman, lust for woman and intoxication.
Yeah. So the purport Prabhupada says in the beginning, deluding Maya Shakti, like the moths are captivated by glaring light, like that all the jivas are becoming victims to Maya. And then 2-3 lines below Prabhupada says, Vedas warn us not to go to darkness of ignorance, but to the progressive path of light. Lord himself warns that to give up Maya, one should surrender to Lord. But there comes a very important point, see there. But to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is also not very easy. Such surrender is possible by persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. This is the secret. If you follow four relative principles strictly, you can easily surrender to Lord. Like Prabhupada is saying, see how logically Prabhupada is deducing. First he is saying that like moths are captivated by glittering fire, similarly the jivas are attracted by Maya and they get roasted. That's the first point he makes. Then he says, jivas should not be attracted to Maya. Rather, they should surrender to the Lord's lotus feet. Mamevya prapadyante, mayametam tarantite. But that type of surrender to Lord is also difficult, he says. But that type of surrender is easy. When? When you follow these four principles. I'll read again, see. But to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is also not very easy. Such surrender is possible by persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. These four principles of advanced civilization were remarkable features in the age of Satya. What is against austerity? Intoxication. What is against cleanliness? Illicit sex. What is against mercy? Meditating. What is against truthfulness? Yeah. Therefore, those four things have to be given up. Because if we give up those four things, our strength to surrender to Krishna increases. So many times, the four related principles are not strictly handed over when in our preaching. We relax here, relax there. Therefore, the boys who become devotees are unable to surrender. Correct, no? They are unable to surrender. So they become weak-hearted, so they are slapped and dragged by Maya. Dragged away by Maya. Because we have seen all around the globe when you travel, you see that there is no strict vigilance on Wi-Fi use, internet use. So people wet themselves, pollute their minds. There is no strict vigilance on what they eat. People eat over-opulent foods. which actually titillate the tongue and agitate the senses. And the result of that is the clamor for sex life. So physically, they eat things which increase their sex appetite. And they see internet surfing, dirty things they see, which agitates the mind and also activates the action organs, karmendriyas, because of loading the mind with garbage, you see, because of that. And similarly, when they indulge in all kinds of these things, then especially the regulative principle of illicit sex is broken. And then Prabhupada will use the word especially. You will see, I will show you that sentence. Amongst the four, he is stressing on illicit sex more than the other three. In the future shloka, it will come. So, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. So then one wants, more and more and more money. Then one goes for speculation or gambling. So you will see like this, when the four regulative principles are compromised, the result is that one becomes vulnerable and weak. Just like you have seen in the beams, a termite enters. It goes like this, keeps on going, keep on doing like this. And as a whole, what it does to the beam? Keep moving inside like this, it moves everywhere, all over it moves. If you take a cross-section of the beam, you can see lines. You have seen that? It makes holes here, there, everywhere, and it renders the beam weak. Beam becomes very vulnerable because the cross-section of the beam reduces now because of the holes. And one day you find the whole beam cracking and falling down. You find like that. So the four regulative principles, when not followed well, the virus goes into our system and it weakens our system, and that is how people fall down. So these are all stages earlier to fall down. You can see that. And then we should not allow ourselves to be weakened. We have to strictly follow these four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. So the subtle principles I told you, austerity is not to become proud. Cleanliness is opposite to illicit sex. Illicit sex actually means enjoying mentality. So one should give up the bhogavritti. The mercy is opposite to meat eating, which is actually violent and rash behavior. Truthfulness is opposite to speculation or gambling, which is actually whimsical behavior or independent mindedness. So we have to give up independent mindedness, we have to give up enjoying mentality, we have to give up, mercy is opposite to lording over mentality. It is opposite to lording over mentality. So opposite truthfulness is independent mentality, whimsical mentality. Opposite to mercy is lording over mentality. And opposite to cleanliness is enjoying mentality, bhogavritti. And opposite of austerity is pride, ahankar, pride and arrogance. So we have to overcome four powerful enemies, which we have to strictly follow. We should not allow ourselves to become very proud or harsh or arrogant, considering oneself great. That's my first thing. Second thing, we should give up the bhogavritti and adopt sevavritti. Correct, no? And thirdly, we should give up the lording over mentality. And opposite lording over is, I'm not basanu bas, I'm dasanu das. And we have to give up independent or whimsical mentality, which opposite of that is, we have to surrender. So by following these four principles strictly, our inspiration and strength to surrender to Krishna will become very easy. And then when we surrender like that, we will not be like the moth entering fire. We will overcome Maya very easily. Like that he is telling. It's very nice. And then below Prabhupada says, you see, these four principles of advanced civilization were remarkable features in the age of Satya. In that age, every human being was practically a qualified Brahman of the highest order. And in the social orders of life, they were all Paramahamsas. And then Prabhupada says, such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. Please repeat this sentence. Such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. Correct, no? See, this is a secret. how to get away from clutches of Maya. We have to become strong men of character, they say. But then gradually, as basic principles of Brahminical culture, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness become curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment for woman and intoxication, the path of salvation or path of transcendental bliss retreated far, far away from human society. With the progression of age of Kali, people are becoming very proud and attached to woman and intoxication. By the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are always dressed in an overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men. And the man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, chewing tobacco. These are gross habits. All these habits are so-called advancement of civilization are the root causes of irreligiosities. And therefore, it is not possible to check corruption, bribery, nepotism. Yeah. We cannot simply control by statutory acts of police or vigilance. But we can cure the disease of the mind by proper medicine. What is it? The Brahminical culture. So, if you can teach even school children these four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, both in gross and subtle ways, this itself we will find will elevate them in Brahminical culture very easily. And when the Brahminical culture is followed well, then they will easily surrender to the Lord. When they surrender to the Lord, they will easily overcome Maya. You see? So modern civilization, economic development are creating a new situation of poverty, scarcity and all that is. And then below Prabhupada says, two, three lines below, we must always remember that false pride or too high an estimation of one's own values of life, undue attachment to women or association with them and intoxication will divert human civilization from the path of peace. For example, those who are Brahmanas are very proud of their wisdom in Sanskrit or Shastric knowledge. So they are unable to take the Krishna consciousness. Correct, no? Like Yajnik Brahmanas, could they become Krishna conscious? And the Brahmin and cobbler, could the Brahmana become Krishna conscious? And the South Indian Brahmanas pastime, that other than South Indian Brahmana, there were other Brahmins who were teasing him. They couldn't become, because they are too proud. So then they have no ears to listen to the Vaishnavas at all, you see. So that's why Prabhupada is saying that false pride, too high an estimation of one's own values. Like when Prabhupada went to South India, some Brahman saw ISKCON Western devotees reciting shlokas little improperly. Swamiji, your disciples don't know how to speak out the shlokas in proper pronunciation. And Prabhupada said, that is why I have come with them, so that we can learn from you how to pronounce. That means indirectly Prabhupada said that I have come to convert you fellows into Vaishnavas. That is the meaning. Too proud. And then undue attachment to women or association with them. Nowadays you find boys, girls, boys, girls, boys, girls, everywhere you find. They are you find them in pairs only, everywhere. Therefore the boys are so weak-minded. Because of no character, they can't cogently say two sentences with meaning. They cannot, because they have no spine at all. Because the strength comes when man and woman are not brought together unnecessarily. A girl should be trained by her mother, and a boy is trained by the guru. And a boy should be trained as a strict brahmachari. And the girl should be trained as a chaste woman, pure. No unmarried girl will be smiling and talking to an unmarried or unknown man. If you see in traditional families, if you go to somebody's house, the door is opened by an unmarried girl. As soon as you go inside, she will immediately go straight into kitchen. And she will go and tell her mother or father, and some senior person will come out. And then they only will talk to you. Although you may want to know who is that girl, what's her name, you cannot get any information. Unless the parents call her out, she won't come out. That was the kind of culture in traditional family. But now you find even girls coming from Brahmana families are sitting with Muslim boys, Christian boys. You know, they have multiple partners. Completely the purity is lost. They are roaming like cats and dogs in the bikes. Sometimes they cover all their face, body, everything with clothes, thinking that nobody is watching. But 12 sakshis are watching. That they don't know. You have to show them Bhagavatam 6th canto. Ajamila section. They may escape the eyesight of mother and father, friends and everybody. They may go to Mahabaleshwar to enjoy, and come back. But they don't know the 12 sakshis are keeping it in the record, every nonsense they are doing. Therefore, in this age, the degradation of such man-woman mixing has made them like two-legged animals, you see. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying that, undue attachment to women or association with them should be avoided. Therefore, the dealing between man and woman should be highly respectful. It should be one of respect, and there should be a civilized distance between them. And intoxication will divert the human civilization from path of peace. And the preaching of Bhagavatam principles will automatically render all men austere, clean, both inside and outside, and merciful to the suffering, and truthful in daily behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. And it is a fact, if somebody is regularly hearing Bhagavatam, and the pastimes of the Lord and devotees, and the lessons to be drawn from them, there is so much wisdom in Bhagavatam. And every practitioner of Bhagavatam philosophy will feel that, these principles are so sublime and pure, and they have always enough homework to do to blossom in their Krishna consciousness by this. And they can lead refined lives like demigods in heaven. They can lead very pure lives with Krishna in the center. So this was 24th purport. Why do we follow the four regulative principles? Any of you can answer this question? Why do we follow the four regulative principles without seeing the purport? Who can answer? Yes, Prabhu? He's saying to surrender to Krishna, he says. Very good. So, when we follow the four related principles strictly, what happens? Our strength of character increases. With the increase in strength of character, we are able to easily surrender to Krishna. And when we surrender to Krishna, what happens? Who can say? Yes? We can escape the clutches of Maya. Like that. Mameve prapadyante. Can easily escape. So, this is a connection. You read. And how to correct the flaws in society? Anybody? By administering the principles taught in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, So you take a short break. You can come by 12:40 back. Achha, you have to end at 1, no? Prasad Devi. So if they come at 12:40, I can end at 1:10. No problem? Okay, come at 12:40 and half an hour you will get. At least one more we'll finish, one or two more. How many more? Okay. 10-minute break, you take Gayatri break.
Religion do not stand on some dogmas or man-made formulas, but they stand on four primary regulative observances, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. The mass of people must be taught to practice these principles from childhood. Austerity means to accept voluntary things, which may not be very comfortable for the body, but are conducive for spiritual realization. But for example, fasting. Fasting twice or four times a month is a sort of austerity which may be voluntarily accepted for spiritual realization only, and not for any other purposes, political or otherwise. Fastings which are meant not for self-realization, but for some other purposes, are condemned in the Bhagavad Gita. 17.5 and 6. Similarly,
and also we can also read three types of austerities in 17.14, 15, 16 verses. No, so there we have austerity of the body, mind, and speech. So there we can know what is austerity. We can practice that. Yes.
Similarly, cleanliness is necessary for both mind and for the body. Simply, bodily cleanliness may help to some extent, but cleanliness of the mind is necessary, and it is affected by glorifying the Supreme Lord. No one can cleanse the accumulated mental dust without glorifying the Supreme Lord. A godless civilization cannot cleanse the mind because it has no idea of God. And for simple reason, people under such civilization cannot have good qualifications, however they may be materially equipped. We have to see things by their usual resultant action. The resultant action of human civilization in the age of Kali is dissatisfaction. So everyone is anxious to get peace of mind. This peace of mind was complete in Satyayuga because of the existence of the above mentioned attributes of the human beings. Gradually, these attributes have diminished in the Treta Yuga to the 3/4, in the Dwapara Yuga to half, and in the age of Kali to 1/4, which is also gradually diminishing on account of prevailing truthfulness, untruthfulness. By pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. By too much affection to female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. And by too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all description.
Yeah. So these four principles are again emphasized by Prabhupada in this purport also. So how is austerity spoiled? Yeah. So artificial or real pride, he says. So what is this artificial pride? They're called Damba. And the real pride is called Man. What is the meaning of real pride here? Sometimes one really has some skills, or really expert in a field, a specialist in some field. And because he is smart, then people may surround him, and people may praise him, and people may take note of his, you know, contributions, and the world, you know, recognizes his good work, and naturally he becomes acclaimed with several accolades. So such a person, it goes to his head that I am becoming noticed, I am special, I am important, and I am in demand, and that kind of. So when that kind of halo around the head comes in a person, that's called real pride. A person imagines oneself to be very. Prabhupada says, don't be proud of the borrowed plumes, he says, no? So actually Krishna only has empowered him or gifted him, but he becomes proud of that. And Damba means one doesn't possess anything but imagining to be great oneself. Sometimes you find this, college students, they watch some movie where they're attracted to some hero or heroine. After seeing several movies, they start imagining themselves to be that heroine or hero. Correct, no? And the way they speak, the way they dress, the way they walk, they imagine themselves, they become one with that hero or heroine. You understand what I'm saying? You've seen that? The stylishness which is they speak, they walk. So, and they become, they imagine themselves to be somebody what they are not. I saw a picture where a cat is looking into a mirror and he is finding a lion inside. How can a cat see a lion inside? Can you say? It is simply his imagination. He is only a cat, but he is thinking too high of himself. So therefore, in our training, one of the most dangerous things is we should now, sometimes we use the word leader. So people imagine themselves to be leaders. Actually, the leader is one who gets more and more number of people to serve. He is called as a leader. As the number of people whom you serve increases, you become a bigger and bigger servant leader. That means the more you have people to serve, the more is the good fortune. Correct, no? And a small leader means he may serve 4 or 5 people. Big leader may serve for 4,000, 5,000 people. Correct, no? So in this way, a leader means one who gets to serve more. So a leader himself should see himself as a servant, having the opportunity to serve on behalf of Guru and Krishna. That is the right type of consciousness. Otherwise, if somebody, too much it goes into one's head, I am a leader and I have some people under me and I will lord over them and I will dance on their head and I will get things done to them, and this fellow is a muff, he is a fool, he is lazy, and that fellow is crazy. You know, in this way we see all the people as some, you know, some parameters and some equation. And we don't value the human beings as humans. Who are working with us. So that type of approach is very dangerous for someone in the position of a leader, anybody who is leading some group. So one has to see everybody as a part and parcel of Krishna, endowed with unique talents, unique qualities, characteristics, and Vaishnavas. And one is getting an opportunity to coordinate a service, or facilitate a service, or organize a service, plan out a service. Maybe you are senior, so you are given a chance to offer them some guidance and how to do it. Because, you know, in a train, there are many bogies, but one engine is also required, which is slightly different from the bogie, correct, no? Then one engine can pull all the bogies. The purpose of having the engine is that all the bogies can be connected and taken from one destination to another, correct, now, one place to another. That's the purpose. Otherwise, the engine is declared as an engine for that purpose only, no other purpose. It's also like one of the bogies only, correct? But it is made engine. Similarly, a leader is one who can galvanize all the talents of people, pull it up all together, and by respecting them, valuing them, appreciating their unique contributions, and convincing them to commit for a common cause, so that they all commit for a common cause and the whole team is taken ahead. Like that. So, therefore, the Damba means, but Damba is criticized by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Amanitvam, adambitvam. Both are condemned. Amanitvam, adambitvam, he's saying. One is real pride, one is artificial pride. Both should be given up. Prahlad Maharaj was a prince, son of the king of the world. But it is said that he never had the man. He never had the pride of being the prince, although everyone was at his beck and call. Whole universe was at his disposal. So, similarly you find Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan, Rup Sanatan Prabhupada quotes example. So, they all possessed qualifications and they were not proud. But somebody who doesn't, like Arjuna, I mean not Arjuna, I mean when Yudhishthira Maharaj conducted the Rasu Yajna, Duryodhana had come. And everybody on their own took up their service. Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't allot service. Like for example, Bhima said, you know, I will go to the kitchen. And Draupadi was told to serve prasadam to the esteemed guests, elderly guests and all they came. And Arjuna was told to take care of the accommodation and prasad of rishis and munis. Very saintly persons. So Arjuna was taking care of that. And similarly, Yudhishthira Maharaj also, I don't remember, what was Yudhishthira Maharaj given? Service? No, Yudhishthira Maharaj himself is the yajaman, no? He is the yajaman. All others did service for him only. They did. And Krishna was washing the feet of all the sages and everything. So Duryodhana volunteered that I will collect the gifts that come for the, because one person is supposed to collect the gifts and write down who gave what gift, what was the worth, you know? In marriage is also they write like that. No? So Duryodhana took up that. Why he took up that? Because he was curious. And now I will see what this fellow is getting. He is doing yajna now. Let me see what all our gifts are coming for him. So he was really shocked to see the gifts which came. Amazing gifts were presented. And it is said that because of Yudhishthira Maharaj's saintliness and his devotion to Krishna, all the services were automatically snatched by different people. And when Yudhishthira turned around and saw no service was left, everybody had taken away, all service. And everything was moving in a very beautiful manner. The Rasu Yajna. And after that was over, Duryodhana started fuming and sweating. And Shakuni noted that. And Duryodhana wanted to show, a lot of guests had come from all over the world, you know. So Duryodhana, when he entered the Maya Sabha, he took a sword in his hand, holding like this. And along with three or four servants, he called them with him, walk with me. So they all marched into the Maya Sabha. So there, Chakravarti, Jiva Goswami has given one commentary. He says there, that when Duryodhana was walking, he held a sword like this in his hand to show that, you know, I am also childless. I am in no way lesser than Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he was holding a sword in the hand and walking inside. And he also pulled in four or five people along with him to show that I also have followers. Don't think Yudhishthira, only you have so many followers. I also have followers. So he had some people following him like that. And he was also very proud while getting into Maya Sabha. So Maya Sabha, the other day I told you, according to your mentality, that items in the Maya Sabha will behave with you. So when he proudly entered, wherever there was water, it appeared like a glass floor, isn't it? A mirror floor, it appeared like that. So he just walked ahead and he just fell inside, correct, no? And then along with his sword, he just toppled underwater, like this. Then people up in the top, from the upper floor, Draupadi giggled and laughed. And Bhima also laughed, ha, 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 he laughed. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was controlling them, shh, Don't laugh. He was afraid that Duryodhana may take offense. And Krishna encouraged, no problem, continue laughing. Ha ha ha. Like that. So, okay. So Jukasam writes there that this Duryodhana was very insecure. Due to his insecurity, he wanted to show off that I also have some followers, I also have chivalrous nature, sword, and if I conduct Rajasuya, I will also have a very big number of people giving gifts and everything. Correct, no? So this is Damba. Damba actually means what? It's a show bottle. Correct, no? So he's saying such kind of pride should be given up. He's saying. Otherwise the austerity will be spoiled. So the children, Prabhupada says, right from childhood you should give it. One of the days I was flying in a plane, I was sitting behind. So in my seat, there was one Prabhuji sitting and his wife was sitting. And the wife was carrying her son. The son may be around probably 6-7 years old, I think, one boy. He wanted to be near the window, so mother kept him with her. So on the next seat, there were 2-3 seats that were sitting, and there was another Mataji, and she had her son also. So that son was peeping from the top and watching here at this boy, because they both are almost equal age. They're watching. So I was just observing. So one boy asked, this boy asked that boy, after you become big, you know, what will you study? Where will you study? You know, he asked. Then that boy asked this boy, okay, first you tell me where you will study, then I will tell you, that boy said. And this boy said, I will study in IIT, he said, this boy. And then when he asked that boy, what about you, will you study in IIT? He said, no, I'll go to America, he said. And the mother became so happy, that boy's mother, she immediately picked up the child and embraced and said, and told her husband, Mera beta dekho kitna buddhiman hai, how intelligent. Now only he says he wants to go to America. So intelligent. And she was, so from when mother showed such jubilation, the child gets encouragement also, correct? Na? Like Prabhupada's mother was like that also. Prabhupada's mother wanted him to go abroad. Whereas Prabhupada's father wanted him to learn Mridangam and speak on Bhagavatam. That was his desire. So, in this way you find sometimes mother father sometimes can be materialistic, correct, no? So because of that encouragement by parents, the son, a child may go in the wrong direction, correct, no? Like you find some materialistic mothers may say, beta 11 baj gaya raat ko abhi bhi tum jaage ho baithe ho so jao beta, and he's saying, ma, I'm working for a project, ye project ho jayega na agle mahine 2 lakh mere naam mein aa jayega. Aisa hai kya? Theek aur 2 ghanta kaam karo. No problem. Correct, no? And the morning she finds and son is getting up at 6 o'clock. Beta itna jaldi kyon uth gaya tum? Aur so jao 2 ghanta. 8 baje utho. Main maa main soch raha tha mala karun bhagwan. Mala kya karne ka? Tumhare mala ko jod kar hum kar lenge. Hum to budde ho gaye. Hum karenge mala. Tum kaam karo. Tum so jao. So do you think such a mother can bring up the boy, you know? So you will find the mother, father, and the peers, the friends, the teachers, it really matters a lot. What these people emphasize on? What do they live for? What do they emphasize? What principles they deeply value? So that will cling to us. So therefore you find the pride of children actually comes from pride of parents and teachers and friends. Because the pride is something, it's a bad association. We have received it from bad association. Because by associating with proud people, we also get some pride like that. Therefore, from childhood, the children should get to see very noble, exalted personalities who are completely unassuming. Unassuming means they do great things, but they do silently. They don't make a big hangama, you know, they don't make a big show off. And like you see Gandhi and Nehru, if you see, you know, diametrically opposite. Gandhi believed in charka culture, and Gandhi believed, he established Radhakrishna temples even for the untouchables. In Navakali, Bangladesh, he established one Radhakrishna temple, and he said this will be open for Harijans. Which means Gandhiji did believe in Sitaram temples and Radhakrishna temples. He wanted people to come to temple and become devotees. He had the desire. And he also carried Bhagavad Gita with him. He read Hari Kirtan in the meetings also. And he wore a simple dhoti himself, only khadi. And he told all people to drop away the milk cloth. Correct, no? And he himself was, you know, doing charka at home, weaving the cloth. And he told the whole of India, all of you drop the milk cloth. Do only charka. Don't depend on Manchester. From British people, we need not buy. Why should we increase their revenue? Keep our Indian revenue within India only. Like the depression. The whole India followed at his times. And the most amazing thing, Gandhi never wanted to be a top leader or prime minister of India at all. He was more an inspirational figure for the whole of India. People emulated his character, emulated his model. If you see many of the Gandhians who became Gandhians following in Gandhi's footsteps, they also imbibed such character. Like you see this Anna Hazare and people like that. They did a lot of, some of the people actually, I have seen many of the teachers wearing khadi, 1 rupee they accept salary. They do so much service like that. So many people did like that. On the other hand, Nehru was diametrically opposite. He wanted industrialization in India. He went to the Srirangam temple and said, I wish this whole 7-walled temple is converted into a big industry. He said, what is the need of temples? We need industries. He said, industries are the real temples of India. He said, let all the men of India come to the industries and develop the industrial revolution in India so that India can become superpower. That was his wish. Why he became like that? Because his father, Motilal Nehru, he appointed an American watchman. And his father, Motilal Nehru, systematically propagated that anything made in India is useless. Anything made in British is great. Because he got it from his father, you see. You will see that. So in this way, our upbringing matters a lot. But we cannot blame the upbringing. In case our upbringing makes us proud or arrogant, we have to change it. If you don't change it, then the austerity will be spoiled. See, austerity produces tapobalam. But pride and arrogance destroys the tapobalam. Like a practical example, Vishwamitra. You know, he performed 1,000-year penance. And Brahma descended and said, well done, O great sage Vishwamitra, I declare you that now onwards you will be called as, you know, Maharshi. Because earlier your title was Rajarishi, now you are Maharshi. And Vishwamitra said, that's all. For so many years of penance, I wanted the post of Brahmarishi, he said. Maharshi is not good enough. He said, for that you have to do another 1,000 years. Okay, I will do, he said. But in the meantime, this fellow came, Trishanku. For Trishanku, he made this Varga and everything, and he lost his tapavalam. Psst, like a balloon, you prick a needle in a balloon, psst, tapavalam went away. Like that, he lost it. So, when we become angry, or proud, or arrogant, or harsh of speech, our tapavalam is lost. Austerity is lost. Therefore, one should avoid dambha and man. So therefore children should be taught right from young age, he's saying. And by too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. So there is bodily cleanliness for which we take a bath. And for the mental cleanliness, we chant the holy names. And the female association in various forms, there are 8 types of opposite sex association, namely, you know, in all these 8 of them, the common denominator is, this is all done with the enjoying mentality, bhogavriti, that is common. Thinking about women, talking to women with a plan to connect with them for enjoyment, or like making a plan to meet, and finally sex life. So in this way, Yajnavalkya has given all these things. So what he says is, not only the physical association with women contaminates a man, but even the thought for enjoyment itself is contaminating. It's not only a man for a woman and a woman for a man. Actually, a woman should see other men either like father or like son. That's the ideal vision for them. And a man should see other women as a mother or daughter. Like, imagine if Mata is 10-20 years older than you, see her as a mother. If she is younger than you, you see her like a daughter. That's ideal vision for a man. This is not non-contaminating vision. This is a pure vision. You will see like Swayambhu Manu is giving his daughter in marriage to Kardavamuni. And he's embracing his daughter to his chest and crying tears of affection. And he's calling her, "Hey Vatsa, oh my child, hey Amba," Amba is calling, "oh mother," he's calling. Although she happens to be his daughter, he's calling her as a mother. So mother is a very sacred way of addressing a woman. So in the Vedic life also, bhavati bhikshan dehi. So they would go to homes and say, "Oh mother, please give me bhiksha." So therefore, this is the way one should connect. And men, women should not call one another as Bahinji. Prabhupada did not accept that. Prabhupada said, "What Bahinji? Mataji." Prabhupada said. Sometimes like some boy and girl come from the college and meet me and say, "Prabhu, I have brought my sister to meet you." "Is she your sister?" "No, Prabhuji, I consider her my sister." "She considers me her brother." Prabhupada didn't accept this. Prabhupada said, "You should always call woman as Mataji," he said. So Prabhupada did not approve of this, because sometimes the boy suddenly says, "Now I'm going to marry her now." "Hey, what happened? You called Bahinji, you are putting Rakhi." "No, Prabhuji, only 1 year I put Rakhi, next year onwards I stopped it." This is all nonsense. So this is the problem, you see. Especially in India, you know, people have a tendency for emotionally inspiring and supporting and helping one another, especially in Sattvaguna. So in that way they connect with man, woman, connecting, helping. A girl says, "I don't have any brother, but you are such a nice boy. Can you be like my brother?" That's how relationship starts. And then this boy also connects. Initially, intentions might have been pure also, but eventually they get polluted. Because that's why the unnecessary mixing with opposite sex is condemned. One should take care of one's cleanliness aspect. So if heart has to be clean, one should not connect with opposite sex for enjoyment. Opposite sex should be seen as matravat paradareshu. And by too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. What is this intoxication? It's a violent attitude. It's violence towards other, aggression. Aggressive attitude or violent attitude is actually called intoxication. Madness. For example, the Prachina Parishad was violent towards the forest animals. When he went for hunting, it is said like this. So similarly, one, while living in this world, we have to cause some amount of violence for survival. Like for example, we eat vegetables, fruits also, there is some violence caused also. But we should keep the violence to the minimum. Similarly, while living with other devotees, sometimes you may have to cause inconvenience to others for your peaceful satisfaction. Correct, no? Like for example, you are sleeping in a room, another devotee is snoring. Like then making sound. And you get up and sit down and say, "Hey, what to do with this fellow?" You know? And he is peaceful. Only you are not peaceful. So, in the yatra, once I had gone, Radha Gopinath who was sleeping in the room, and I was sleeping. One third devotee was there. He was sleeping in the same room. Suddenly I saw the light was on. And I opened my eyes. What happened? Radha Gopinath who got up. He went to the bathroom and he came back. I thought he went to the bathroom. So, again I slept. The morning I got up at 2 o'clock. I saw Radha Gopinath was sitting and studying. And his eyes were like bloodshot. Then I asked, "Prabhuji, why you got up so early? You know, you didn't have good sleep now. How can anyone sleep in this world except you, with this fellow making such a snoring sound?" Then I asked, "Prabhuji, why don't you tell him?" He said, "I didn't feel like telling him, poor fellow, he's peacefully sleeping." So Radha Gopinath, he went out and slept that night, but he tried, but it was very cold winter. So again he came in, as he was telling. So sometimes we may be unknowingly causing inconvenience to others. Correct, no? This is not deliberate. This is... But what you can do in this situation? If somebody has already told you, "Prabhuji, you snore," 100 people would have told you, "Prabhuji, your snoring is affecting my sleep." So what one should do? In advance only one should request for one single room for sleeping. Correct, no? So you sleep and nobody gets disturbed by your sleep. So in this way you can avoid violence. Violence means, you know, not letting others sleep. That is also called violence. Correct, no? In this way, sometimes if you very carefully observe our behavior, there is a lot of violence we are causing others. We will talk a little bit more when we come back at 3 o'clock when you come. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.